Prayer's good, isn't it? It is. I tell you, there's nothing quite like hearing your name mentioned in a prayer. I tell you what, I thank each of you that prayed for me tonight as I come up here to talk to you. It really means a lot to know that there's people in this church. I got a text message today. I didn't get it till later, but to know that somebody was praying for me while I was preparing for this, and I'm sure that there are a lot of you that didn't tell me that were, and I thank you so much for that. And it's a good thing to have a meeting like this, to come together with other believers and to know you're being prayed for. Now, I'm talking to you guys. I want to get a little bit of an idea. I know most of you, so I think I know the answers to these questions, but I want to get an idea of the audience that I'm talking to tonight. One of the parts of public speaking is know your audience. So how many of you are perfect? I see somebody pointing to their wife. That's a good man over there. He knows what to do. Yeah. Now, you know, all of us, we obviously admit, the Bible says for all of sins, we're here today and we're here at this meeting, most of us anyways, because we realize that we're sinners and we're saved by grace and we're come together to talk to our God who saved us and to learn about Him. But I want to ask you, how many of you have ever looked at someone else in the church or maybe someone else even in this room right now and thought, what do they ever do wrong? Like, look at that person. They must be perfect. They've got it all figured out. They're just, you know, that life must be perfect for them. They're never tempted. And look at them. They're always, ties always straight, boots always shined, everything. It's great. A lot of times, we look around at the church and we forget that everybody else has problems too. And this is something that I was thinking about reading James 5:16. You can turn there if you'd like to. James 5:16, and this is what made me think so much about the prayer tonight. How good it is, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's the part of this verse that we often look at. But the part of this verse that got my attention, I'll bring out in a minute, but I want to just read it. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The part that I really want to focus on tonight is that first little phrase, confess your faults one to another. I think today in the church, we, even myself, have a bit of a problem with appearing perfect. We become a little bit like politicians. And I don't know if any of you in here have ever seen the television show 24. I haven't seen much of it, but I started watching a little bit of it, and one of the big plots in the first season, there's this guy, and I forget his name now, but he's running for president, and he wants to run an honest campaign. He said honesty, that's what he's going on. And all of these people that are working with him to get him elected aren't doing honest things. And they're tricking and they're manipulating, and he finds out about some of it, and he's like, I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to change it. And he realizes that if he is honest, things will turn out worse than they were to start with. That's a little bit confusing. But they manipulate it to the point that if he is to do the right thing, then it looks worse on him than if he just lets everything go. Because they have it set it up so that he looks perfect, so that he can get elected. And a lot of times, we, as Christians, we play a little bit of politics. We want to look perfect. Now, how many of you want to look perfect? I hope to some extent, maybe you don't want to, you know, maybe you won't want to straight up admit it, but I'd like to look perfect. I'd like to look like Jesus, you know? And one day I will. I'm going to have a glorified body and I'm going to have that. But right now we should be striving to look good, but not to look perfect because we aren't. And a quote from somebody who really did not have this figured out is from Napoleon, and he said this, in politics, never retreat, never react, and never admit a mistake. That was his view. That was how he lived his life, never admit a mistake. And a lot of times, as Christians, in the world and to other people, we look around and we're like, well, all of them are perfect, so we'll make a mistake, but we'll reason our way out of it. Because we don't want to look bad. We don't want to look bad to other people. We want to feel like we're a good Christian too. And I feel like this is a a big problem. In this day and age, people have taken the above reproach to above reasonable. We should be above reproach, but that doesn't mean that we're above sinning. You know, above reproach is the idea of having the benefit of the doubt. When someone hears a rumor about you, they know you didn't do that. Because that's not who you are. That's not what you do. But that doesn't mean that you can't mess up. It doesn't mean that you can't sin. And the book of James here was written to the dispersion of believers, is what it says. James, we believe it was the half-brother of Jesus who wrote this letter, and he wrote it to these people who were dispersion, and their problem was they weren't living like believers, so they didn't look like believers. Because they were going, they had fled Jerusalem because of the persecution, because of Stephen being stoned, and they had gone out all over the place, and then they weren't living their lives to look like believers. And so he tells them, you know, you should look like a believer. And I think that a lot of people have taken that too far and said that we should look perfect. But James didn't mean that. And we see here in this verse what he specifically tells us to do is confess your faults one to another. And so that's what I want to talk about a little bit tonight. To confess our faults, there's a few different people that we need to confess them to. And there's a few different things that we have to do in order to confess them. The part here, it says, confess your faults one to another. So we're supposed to take our faults, you know, we realize the things that we have wrong, and confess them one to another. But first, before we go that, we have got to think about what a fault is. A fault here is referring to a transgression, to a sin, something that we do wrong. Now, a fault also, there's about 40,000 definitions of the Greek word when you go looking it up. But it can, you know, I'm thinking, I know it's Greek, but I kind of have to change it into English a little bit. But, you know, when a car has a fault, like, you know, we'll get a recall on your car. Some of you have probably had that. You have to take it in the shop getting something changed. Now, technically it worked perfectly fine, but there was something wrong with it that kept it from running perfect. And a lot of times we have faults that don't mean we're doing something wrong all the time, but maybe we have a tendency to do wrong. We have a tendency, I'll tell you, I have a tendency to procrastinate. I hold off to the last minute and I use that stress as motivation to get the thing done. You know, that's a tendency that I have. And we have those faults like that. And so the faults may be something specific, a sin that we've done, or it may be a tendency that we have, something that we know is a weakness for us, something that might hinder us. And so we have those faults, and here it says to confess our faults one to another. But I feel like there's a little bit more that's contained in this verse. It says confess one to another. But we know that there's a couple steps that have to come or should come before we confess our faults to another believer. Here it's not talking about going and confessing to a priest, because that's not what it's talking about. It's one to another. It's talking not necessarily to elders or to priests, but to other believers, just with your peers, with the people that are in the church. And, you know, somebody can go to a preacher or a pastor and confess all their sins, all their wrongcomings, all their shortcomings, but never admit them to themselves. They say, yes, I did that, yes, I do that, but it never clicks in their own mind that that's actually a problem. They never admit to themselves that they have those problems. We see this all the time with criminals. They'll go in the courtroom and they'll admit guilty because they did the crime and they acknowledge that, but they don't believe it. They don't see themselves as guilty, and that's why people go into prison and they come back out and do it again, because they might have admitted it to a judge. Now, sometimes they plead not guilty, but sometimes they do. They plead guilty, but they don't admit it to themselves. And you know what? This right here is the hardest part, in my opinion. Now, telling other people, that's a big deal too. But to admit our faults to ourselves, a lot of times, that's something that, you know, that's really, really hard. And a lot of times in our minds, without actually, we would never say it out loud, but we like to think of ourselves as good people. We do. But we know in 1 John 1:8 it says that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And a lot of times we say it to ourselves without ever saying it out loud, that we don't have these problems, or, oh, look at him, he's struggling with all that, but we don't take a minute to think about the fact that we're actually struggling with the same thing. So we have to admit our faults to ourselves, and we have to admit our faults to God. The Bible says right after that, it says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God wants to hear our faults. And a lot of times we have this idea of a super Christian. And I'll tell you something, there is no super Christian. That's what I was just saying. We look around the room and we're like, man, he must be perfect. What does he ever do wrong? He's always just doing God's work. Well, that may be true, but he's still not a super Christian, because God doesn't use perfect people. God uses broken people. God uses people that come to him and say, hey, I have problems. I have issues, and I want you to work with them. I want to use them for your glory, and I want to take these things, and I want you to do your best through me, even though I have all of these faults and failures. We need, in order to admit those things to ourselves, and to admit those things to God, and then finally to be able to admit those things to other people, we need three things specifically. We need wisdom, we need honesty, and we need humility. Now, these three things are messages in themselves. They're big things of being honest, being humble, and being wise. But I'd like to look at just a few verses. We're going to flip through Proverbs for a minute. If you'll turn, we're going to start in Proverbs 12:1. And just take a look at some different verses that talk about these different attributes of how to deal with our faults and what it takes and what we will be if we can achieve these things. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 1. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. I'm going to read it again. Sometimes these Proverbs need to be read twice. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. A lot of times, in order for us to admit our faults, you know, we don't like to realize them. We don't like to look at them, and sometimes it takes somebody to tell us. Look, are you struggling with this? Is this something that you have a problem with? Did you do this thing that somebody was talking about? You know, and knowledge. If we love that instruction, if we take that, then we have knowledge. We have that because we acknowledge the things that we've done wrong and we're going to do something about them. But he that hateth that reproof is brutish. So we have our two options here. We can take the advice and have knowledge, or we cannot take it and be brutish. You can move down in the chapter to verse 15, Proverbs 12:15. It says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. You know, there's a verse, now I forget where it is, but it talks about someone pulling wisdom out of another person, talking between two people. A lot of times, talking about your own problems, it'll help you to realize them. It'll bring knowledge out of the two of you talking about those things. And a lot of times, you know, we're right in our own eyes, either because we choose to look at our ways as right and not acknowledge them, or because we don't realize them. We don't realize, we don't see what we're not missing, what we can't see. I don't know how to say that. Like, I'll give you an example. I was probably 14 years old before I realized that the C in Chick-fil-A was a chicken. That C, you know, it's a chicken. I had no idea. It was just a funny-looking C at the beginning of Chick-fil-A. It was like a year later, I saw the Tostitos bag for chips. The T-I-T in the middle is two little guys holding chips dipping in a bowl. That's the dot on the I. No idea. We don't know what we don't see. A lot of times we don't see these things, and more important things than the Chick-fil-A chicken and the Tostitos bags, but we don't see the problems that we have with ourselves. And we need those things. We need the wisdom. We need that. You can turn over to chapter 15, Proverbs 15:32. and says this, "He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding." So here we can refuse instruction from either other people, from God, from the Bible, or even from our own common sense, and despise our own soul, or we can get understanding. In turn to chapter 24, verse 16. Proverbs 24:16. "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." If we don't realize our faults, then we're going to fall and not know we've fallen. We have to push the little life alert button and say, "I've fallen and I can't get up," in order to have help to get up. But so many of us are so stubborn. I'm so stubborn a lot of times. We're too determined that we can do it on our own. We're going to be fine, that we'll end up dying on the floor before we'll stand up seven times, much less one time. Or one time, much less seven times. Flip over a couple more pages to Proverbs 28:13. Proverbs 28:13. "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." If we cover up our sins, we're not going to prosper. We're not. We're going to be stuck exactly where we are. And we're going to go backwards because we're not willing to admit it and get up off the floor and to move on. But if we confess them, then we shall have mercy. There's a lot more to say, but with this, you know, we need these things. We need wisdom, honesty, and humility, and we need to admit our faults to ourselves first, and then to God, and then we need to admit it to other people. Now, the one thing that a lot of people, I think, you know, James, who he was writing to, had problems with, is like, okay, well, we'll just admit all of it and then we'll keep living like that because everybody knows it. You know, we just all do it, so that's fine. And that's not okay either. You admit your fault so that you can change it, so that you can get better, so that you can move on from it and grow. So I want to challenge each of you. What fault do you have? Now, we already talked about this. None of us in here are perfect. So all of you got a fault somewhere. So what fault do you have that you haven't admitted to yourself, that you haven't admitted to God, or that you haven't admitted to other people who can help you? What are you hiding to make you look like a good political Christian, to make it seem like you're better than you actually are in your life? I challenge you this week, pray about it. Talk to other people. Find at least one fault that you have that you haven't admitted. And admit it. Admit it to yourself. Admit it to God. And admit it to someone else. And make a work to change it. Because I tell you what, if the whole church is looking politically correct and all laying on the floor refusing to push a button, we're all going to die down there. So, be encouraged. We have a God that wants to listen to our faults. And look around you. You have other believers that want to help you with your faults. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day that you've given us. Thank you so much that we can take it to the Lord in prayer. Thank you for all of these different requests that were mentioned and that we can learn from these struggles and these trials and grow closer to you. And Lord, I thank you that none of us in here are perfect and that we're all in this together. And I pray that we would be able to admit our faults to ourselves, Lord, that we would be able to admit our faults to you and then to others. Lord, give each of us the humility and the wisdom to be able to do these things, to be able to trust you and to be able to push that button and stand up and go on for you, not as politically correct Christians, but as usable Christians. In your Son's name, Jesus Christ, amen.